Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Well, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for sharing with your friends, your family, your associates. We have over 600,000 listeners. We're very grateful and very proud that we're able to help you out. This show's about the ins and outs of money. You know what? Summer is an important time to keep safety in mind, not only from everyday dangers such as heat and pests, but also emergency preparedness when it comes to your animals. We're going to talk about these dangers for those who have pets. We have Dr. Jose Acri, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. The good doctor will be providing us tips for keeping your pets away from outdoor, indoor poisons, how to prepare for emergency, how to prevent zoonotic diseases. We're almost in September. Heat's going to be winding down. We're going to get into the cold, so we need to know what's going to happen there. I'm going to be talking about the three costs you can't avoid in retirement, and no matter how hard you try, you're going to have those costs. So I'm going to talk to you about what you can do about it. This is really important. Many of us dealt with this, and the reality is silence isn't always golden. In fact, staying silent during critical moments can result in missed opportunities, broken relationships, or disastrous decisions. Over the years, we've all had this situation, whether we're 16, 17, 25, 35, 55, 75, and you realize silence isn't always golden. In fact, staying silent during critical moments can result in missed opportunities, broken relationships, or disastrous decisions. We've all been there. Even though we're in this digital revolution or digital communication age, the reality is people might be connecting more, but they're communicating less. And this is the reason why we have Mary Jane Nestor. She's the author of Say It Now, Say It Right, How to Handle Your Tough and or Tender Conversation. The book is really cool because it provides tips, scripts to help you find your voice and speak up those critical moments in a way that your message has impact and acceptance. Mary, I want to thank you for being part of the show today.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure is actually all ours because I know how important this is, even from a guy's perspective, where our emotional acuity is almost zero. And we've all had those conversations that, quite frankly, just didn't go well. Or we've had those relationship things where we didn't really say what we should have said, and it just blew up the whole relationship. Or I've seen this with others where they got passed over for promotions. And I thought to myself, when I first started reading this book, I'm like, I know five or six times where I should have just said this, what I was thinking, because it would have made a difference in the decision my boss made. People need to be here. They need to get this information. So I'm just, sorry, a little too excited.
Oh, that's good. That's okay. Yeah.
So I want to start with the very first, most important question that this is what people wrestle with. When to speak up? And when to shut up.
Wow, that is the most important question. And I can understand exactly what you're saying about if you had said something, it would have made a big difference to your boss or to your colleagues or yourself even. You said keeping silent is not the best track sometimes. And I was thinking of a situation for myself. And when I started out in my consulting business back in 92, I was doing a lot of writing also. I had this great idea for Me, Inc. Everything was about yourself and being yourself and putting yourself out there. And I thought, what a great idea. You know, what a great tagline. And I never did anything with it. And so it was probably a couple of months later, I bought a Time magazine. And guess what was on the front of it? Me, Inc. And I thought, I should have said something. I should have done something. And, you know, huge opportunities are missed. And it's, you know, for business. And think about all the times you're sitting in meetings, like you say, and you've got this brilliant idea that could save money. It could avoid disasters. Everybody else in the room is thinking about it, but nobody wants to talk up. And it's never said. And then a decision is made and it's a disaster. I have been in so many situations with clients and they don't have the right people in the room, or people are afraid to speak up because they're afraid the last time this guy said it, he got slammed and he's not with us anymore. So you have to do it the right way. You have to find the right timing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of times we are in a situation and then we just blurt something out. And that's not always the best time, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment. So those are times when it's really important. It could save somebody from a disaster. Somebody really needs to hear what you have to say because it's hurting them professionally or personally. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the times when you need to speak up. And then when to shut up. I actually have a chapter in the book, When to Be Silent. And I have a story in my book. A lot of stories are about myself because I did all the wrong things. That's how I'm an expert on this situation.
But that's the best way to figure it out.
Figured it out. I'm still figuring it out. So my son had really bad acne and he was in the, like 16 or 17. You know, that's what happens. But he wasn't really cool guy. He didn't really bother him. But, you know, his nervous mother is like, oh, my gosh, we got to do something about this. So we went to the dermatologist and he's sitting on the exam table and I'm standing there and the doctor comes in and the doctor starts asking my son, Brad, questions about, oh, when did this start or things like that. And he would ask a question, I would answer. And then the doctor would ask another question, I would chirp up and I would answer. And this happened about three or four times. And finally, the doctor turned to me and said, Mrs. Nestor, I think your son can speak for himself. And he said it now and said it right, because I needed to hear that. And I've never forgotten that. Of course, it's in my book, but it's very important. Sometimes, and leaders, managers can give a lot of training, but they can become helicopters like parents can, and they never leave their kids alone. And the message you're sending to your staff or your coworkers or anybody or your children is that, I don't think you can handle this. I don't think you can do this. You're not smart enough. I have to run in and save you. It can really destroy that kind of confidence in people. So there are times when the best thing you can do is to stop talking, you know, say what you have to say and then stop. Because then you're giving the message that, you know what, I think you can handle this.
Well, I think that's really important, because when we talk about, you were alluding to the helicopter mom, and we see that a lot nowadays. You even see it in the corporate world. I've had former senior managers that would be like that with certain people. And the message I didn't realize they were saying at that time, even though I was thinking in the back of my mind, is, well, that person can't handle it. That's why he's not allowed to do those things, or he's being constantly corrected. But it's just using a manager and not a leader leading.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, and you just brought up a situation where somebody needed to say it now and say it right to that leader, mm-hmm. to tell them that this is the way they're coming across.
My first part of my career, I was developing businesses overseas and I only answered to one person, which was real easy because he loved what I was doing and it was very easy to have a conversation with him. And the only times he got mad at me, we never really got mad, but he got upset when I screwed things up or my ego was too high. What I mean by that is I thought I could speak Spanish well enough. We went to Spain and they didn't do the deal because they couldn't understand me, which was an ego stupid thing. Yeah. Ooh. But they ended up doing the deal about 3 years later when I brought the translator and they were really happy.
There you go. See, you know, those are situations where had somebody said that earlier and say, hey, Steve, you know, I know you know Spanish and you're a great guy and you're going to make this deal. The better thing would be to bring an interpreter so things go really smoothly.
Actually, my Spanish was very, very good at that time. It's just that when you go to Spain, it's like a proper Spanish. Like when you go to England, it's like the King's English as opposed to our slang. That's where it all got messed up. They thought I was speaking a big time slang. So it was like, so it was just bad. That was my fault. But let's move on to, everybody has that boss that's always correcting everybody, maybe yelling at people. How do they deal with a senior person? I've had some pretty straightforward conversations with them. Didn't always go well. What's the best way to do that?
Well, I'll give you a situation that happened to me with my last boss. I was working in human resources and HRD for different organizations. And I had this one boss and he was really a nice guy. And he had a very nice office, but he didn't put any chairs in front of his desk purposely. because he didn't want people coming in, sitting down, making themselves comfortable and chit-chatting with him. He was a CFO, so he was, you know, like, tell me the numbers and go away. And that was fine, except when I would go in to talk to him, if we had to discuss something, he's sitting down at his desk, comfortable, and I'm standing there.
That's weird.
Yeah. And he would just go on as if this was the way it was. And to me, it was uncomfortable. I thought it was rude. He didn't make any overtures to sit down. So that really bothered me. Now, that may be a little thing, but you know, it's the little things that can be built into big things and cause a real separation. So I waited. I could have gone in his office anytime and say, hey, you know, you are rude and this is making me uncomfortable and you should be thinking about you. Well, that's not the right way to do it. So what I did, and one of the part of the say it now is you have to find the right time. So I waited until he was in my office. We were talking about something. So he was on my turf, which made it easier. We were talking about things, having a pleasant conversation. And I found the moment. I just felt that this was the moment to bring it up. And so I said to him, you know, there is something that has been bothering me, and I'm sure it's nothing that you are trying to do or whatever, but it makes me uncomfortable. I would like to share that with you. Would you mind if I shared that with you? And he said, well, no. That's a great way to get into a situation. Start out from your point of view. This is something that has been bothering me. I really would like to talk to you about it. Do you mind if I talk about this now? So, you know, you could get a bunch of different answers, but usually the answer is always yes. And so we did. We talked about it. And I came at it from my point of view. You know, I say in the book, you can always speak your truth. I can say how I feel and how it affects me. And that is perfectly fine. Nobody can really come against that, because that's the way that's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and he had no idea that bothered me. He had a table with chairs in his office. And I said, you know, what I would like to do, and the other thing is, if you're going to bring up a situation, you have to let the other person know how you wish to be treated. So let them know what your expectations are. And so I said, you know, when we do this, if it's more than a couple of minutes, can we move over to the table and sit down and have a conversation? He goes, well, sure. So after that, every time I was in his office and it went a couple of minutes over, he would stand up and say, oh, Mary, let's go sit down, which was beautiful. The timing has got to be right. And you can wait for it. Or if it's urgent, then you want to go in. Then you want to say it right. So use the right words, the right setting. You know, ask for permission. Do you mind if I share this with you? And then be sure your motive is right.
Yes.
That's really important, because if I could have said, well, I'm going to show you up, or I'm going to show you what a jerk you are. Even if I said it right at the right time, your motive, your heart is going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three elements. But that's been very successful for me and for my staff, too.
I just want to end this segment with one phrase. I always tell people, you know what, you get what you allow. And having conversations like this allow you to get what you want, or to be treated the way you want, which is wonderful. Hey, look, everybody, stick with us for more Saving with Steve. We're going to come back with Mary Jane Nestor. I'm just loving this. I'm eating this all up and actually taking notes. So should you. So we'll be right back. Stick with us.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. If you'd like to get more information or see past episodes, you can always go to thesavingwithsteve.us or follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. Get more financial tips and more. Now, we're coming back with Mary Jo Nestor, the author of the book, Say It Now, Say It Right. And we've been having a wonderful conversation. We just finished when to speak up and when to shut up. And this is another thing that once we started putting out that you're going to be on the show, the biggest question is what to say and how to approach a difficult situation. Because I'm telling you from my personal experience, maybe 2 out of 5 times it kind of goes right. And that might be all me. And it's been a long time since I had stuff like that. But in my corporate world, 15, 20 years ago, I've had to have tough conversations, whether it be boss or subordinate. And I'd say 2 of 3, maybe out of 5, it went right. Or I got the result I wanted. I was hoping for somebody that understood what was going on, but wasn't upset. They understood what was going on, but was very upset, which means I didn't want that. So could you help us with that one?
Yeah, a lot of questions. But let me say those difficult conversations. In my book, I talk about what happens if you don't have those. If you're a manager or a leader and there are things going on, you've got an employee that's not cutting it and he keeps getting shoved from one department to the next and making everybody miserable. Everybody knows it. If you don't address that, you are going to lose your credibility, respect. People are not going to feel like you have their back. They're going to feel like you're not leading. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And people feel like they're adrift instead of having some kind of a real leader. How do you approach that? You know, part of that is what we talked about, is to bring up the subject. Gosh, you know, there's going to be a lot of tough conversations going on in the workplace coming up because of the return to work. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a blog recently about there's a lot of reasons why people are going to be reluctant to go back to work. But one of them is there's issues that 1.5 years ago, when you closed the office door and everybody walked out, there were a lot of unresolved issues, those tough things that were never dealt with. And so now, after 18 months, I have to go back and work with that same boss who was harassing me, or I'm going to work with those coworkers, or is that same guy going to be there who never did his job anyway, and now I've got to work with him again? You know, those are the kind of things that I think leaders and managers are going to be confronted with when they come back, in addition to all those other questions that they have. I think what leaders can do is to create an atmosphere of acceptance, where people feel free to speak up. Once you do that, and you can do it verbally, you can say, you know, call a meeting together and say, you know what, I want everybody to feel comfortable to say what they need to say. And you can even have somebody that will speak up during the meeting to give an example of that. But you really need to create that kind of a culture of say it now, say it right. Otherwise, you're not going to hear about those things as a leader. And that's another big problem that happens with leaders if they don't have people that are comfortable speaking up, is they will never know what's going on.
That's
true. You know, everybody knows what's going on, but the leader in a lot of times, but you need those people, you need those allies that feel comfortable with you so that they can say, hey, you know, this is going on, or this decision may not be the best one. And let me tell you why I think that might be true. The first thing is create that culture of being able to speak freely. One of the suggestions I make in the book is that managers should appoint a devil's advocate for meetings and say, you know what, today Harriet is going to be our devil's advocate. So her job is to come back with opposing viewpoints for what we're talking about. So you set it up in the very beginning of the meeting. So now Harriet has got this position now. I'm supposed to say things that are maybe problems. And you can use that as a way of establishing this culture of being able to speak out. And people will get the idea. You know, Harriet won't be the only one that's sharing ideas in that meeting. Other people are going to feel empowered to say, oh, you know, I don't think from my point of view, this is what could happen. But how about trying this? Companies are shortchanging themselves. There's so many brilliant people that work for you. And they're the experts. So you got to have the right people there, but you also have to, as a leader, to get that group of allies, you know, form those people that are going to help you out and tell you what you need to know. The people that pulled me back and told me, Mary, you're not coming across very well. This person complained about you because of what you said. Those are the people who really, really cared about me. Those are the people that thought I was worthwhile and that I had potential, because they took the time and they took the risk to let me know so that I could be a better person and a better manager.
Well, that's wonderful. You're lucky. Yeah. it doesn't always happen that way.
No.
But I just want to move on to one other thing, because if you're in the world, whether it be family, management, public, sometimes conversations just don't go well.
No.
How do you recover from that when things don't go as planned?
I have a whole chapter on that. You never know how people are going to react. You're going to try the best timing and the best words, and your heart is right. And I say that you can have all those things in line. The rest is up for grabs. Because people can have all kinds of different reactions. They can say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And then they stop doing whatever they were doing. Or they could say, Or they could say, who the heck do you think you are telling me that? Or they could say nothing and just sort of walk away and think about it. You know, you really don't know how they're going to react. The important thing for the other person and for yourself is to, first of all, you have to have your motive right. So if I speak my truth to you, Steve, there's something that I have to say that you can't really fault me for that. You might, but you know, I can say what I have to say. And I did this with my children. I would tell them something and I would say, now you don't want to hear this and you're probably not going to listen to me, but I have to say this because this is something that's important for me to say to you. After that, it's like I said, it's all up for grabs and people are going to have different kinds of reactions. The thing that you need to can't do is take it personally. If you're sure that you took the best time and your words and emotions were correct, you have to be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
You can't control other people. They have their free will. But a lot of times, years later, somebody might come back to you and say, you know what? That time you spoke to me and you told me that, I just wanted to hit you in the nose. But I learned that was the best thing that I ever heard. You just never know how it's going to affect people.
Yeah, I've had two of those.
Well,
I'm 6'4" and pretty big. So back then, nobody was going to hit me. But I had one young woman that I had that conversation with. And I would say for 2 weeks, she was, I'm going to say, gave me stink eye. And even when it came around, but it was like 3 or 4 years later, she just kind of broke down one day at one of these meetings where everybody honored her. And she says, I can't thank you enough for actually saying those things to me. And she goes, I hated you for months, but now I can see the wisdom in that. And I was like, oh, really?
It's a risk.
So that I'll always remember. That was pretty cool. I want to also say this, sexual harassment in the workplace, you never want to have happen. But a lot of times people don't realize they're doing it, whatever it is. I don't want to say this wrong, but what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I've got a whole chapter on that. You know, it's important for you to speak out. I say silence is also communication. If you don't say anything, everybody thinks, oh, that's okay. Somebody's saying dirty words to you or they're making innuendos and you don't say anything. The other person, like you said, they could be clueless. You know, they've been doing this for years. Well, they think, oh, she likes it or it's not a bad thing. You have to be able to speak up. And there's several different ways you can do that. If you don't like what the conversation is going on, you can just remove yourself from it. Say, you know, I feel differently about this, or I don't feel comfortable in this situation or this conversation, and you can leave. If it's something that you really need to talk to somebody, you really need to say, stop. I don't like this conversation. But you have to tell them what you don't like. Mm-hmm. Also, how it affects you. And also, the most important thing is the kind of treatment that you expect. What is your expectation? Mm-hmm. So if you have this guy, you know, coming on to you or whatever, or a woman, you can say, you know, I need for you to stop right now. I am not comfortable with that kind of talk. I am not interested in that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. And it actually makes me feel uncomfortable working with you in this situation. Going forward, what I would like you to do is I would like you to stick to the situation or stick to what we're talking about in our meetings or stick to other subjects. And I also expect you to respect my concerns and my wishes and to treat me respectfully.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, you got to say it. Otherwise, they won't know.
If you've been listening to what Mary just said, it's almost like a process. If you could say, hey, this is what's happening. It's not acceptable. Here's how it affects me. And this is how I want to move moving forward. It's just a process. It's not like it's a skill that you can develop to turn on when you need to turn on. So, you know, I highly recommend you get the book. That being said, Mary, how can people get your book?
Yeah, say it now, say it right. How to Handle Tough or Tender Conversations. It's available on Amazon.com, on Barnes & Noble. And if you don't have it in your bookstore wherever you live, go in there and ask for it. They'll order some copies. It's on Kindle and it's also on paperback. If you would like to have a signed copy, you can send me an email. My email is just mary@maryjnester.com. We can get that out to you. That would be lovely. Also, you can find it on my website, which is maryjnester.com.
If somebody's looking for a consultant, a trainer, or a coach to help them with this,
yes,
how do they go about getting a hold of you?
You can give me a call. My phone number is on the website. You can send me a message. There is a section to say book Mary or for conversations. I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because the book can also be used as a workbook and for training. I had a recent review on Amazon. She is a professor at a technical college. She is going to use my book for soft skills training because in the back of the chapters are questions. So you've already got your curriculum put together. You've got questions that you can use for your groups are at the back of each chapter.
Uh-huh.
Ask you what's your situation? What do you need to say now? What words or setting do you need to say it right? You can use this as a workbook for a soft skills training. You can use it for book clubs. Again, it has the discussion questions already in it. So a lot of different ways you can use the book.
I want to thank you for being here. The information you provided is important and very on point, especially nowadays with all that's going on. Please, I recommend you go out and get the book. I've only gotten through half of it and I'm just loving it. My wife wants me to finish so she can read it, so she can learn how to talk to me, right? I'm just kidding. But again, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. I wish you well, stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure being on the show.
We'll see you. Bye-bye. That was Mary Jane Nester. If you'd like to get her book, you can always go to Amazon. Again, the book's title is Say It Now, Say It Right. It's a wonderful book. I'm only halfway through it and can't wait to finish. With that, we're going to let y'all go. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. You let your friends and family members know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Spotify channel, or our Google Play channel. So you never miss an episode. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV, and more. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Also, follow us at Facebook, join the Saving with Steve Sexton Insider Club or savingwithsteve.us to get all our replays, guests, gifts, and more. Now, let's talk about the three costs you can't avoid in retirement, no matter how hard you try. While some costs are easy to cut in retirement, such as travel or food or things like that, some you simply just can't avoid. In retirement, taking care of yourself and your family should be a top priority, and that will come with expenses. However, those expenses don't have to take you by surprise. If you know what to expect, you can prepare. Here are some of those things. The first one is healthcare. Paying for healthcare in retirement can be expensive. It may get even more expensive, especially if you're retiring before the age of 65 when Medicare kicks in. Paying for your own insurance, dealing with the cost of long-term care insurance, healthcare, and major expenses. According to Fidelity, their data suggests the cost of healthcare for the typical couple retirement in 2021 will need $300,000 after tax to cover healthcare costs alone in retirement. The costs aren't something you can escape, so it's worth saving for them. You can use a health savings account, and it's a great way to plan ahead. So if you're in your 40s or 50s, start contributing $5,000 a year to an HSA. You could do it through your employer. It's not a problem. You know what? And you can build up those funds. You can invest those funds. I have a client that's been doing that for 15 years. They have well over $300,000 in that account. You know what? That plan is going to cover their medical expenses when they're retired. Now, you can also insure your healthcare expenses. And here's how you go about doing it. You can get a supplement policy through Medicare. Costs you a little bit more, but it'll cover a lot of expenses. Secondly, when you're looking at long-term care, you can get traditional long-term care, but it's expensive at $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 a year. Plus it goes up by 8, 10% a year, which might be too expensive. So the next step, people look at hybrid policies. Now those hybrid policies work like this. They're basically in a whole life insurance chassis, but the benefits are structured to provide a multiple of whatever you deposit in the account for the purpose of your use for long-term care, or if you pass away. So for example, I have a client. They put $100,000 into this A-rated company. They've got $500,000 in long-term care benefits. If they pass away, their heirs get $500,000. So if you think about it, my client kept that $100,000 sitting in an account, earning that paltry interest, but she didn't care because it was there in case of emergencies. Now, she agreed with it moving forward because if she left it at the bank, it'll earn that paltry interest, and then her heirs will get $100,000. But if she dies with the policy, her heirs get $500,000. If she needs it for long-term care and the money's in the bank, she only has a little over $100,000. But if it's in the A-rated policy, she gets $500,000 towards long-term care. For her, it just made sense. Now, if you can't qualify for long-term care insurance or whole life insurance to get those benefits, you can also look at using an annuity. Some are designed to create income, but this one would be designed to create an income that would pay for your long-term care. Usually the coverage they'll cover is about 2 to 3 years, but they're usually getting sometimes two and a half, three times what you put in there in a benefit. So it's really important that you take a look at all that to see what's the best way to do this when it comes to your health expenses. Next item you can't avoid is taxes. You heard Winston Churchill say it's death and taxes. We all got those. But the key is, even if planning carefully, you're almost certainly going to have to pay some taxes in retirement. Some of what you'll owe is based off paying the money from your retirement accounts because you never paid tax before. When you withdraw the money, you're going to pay taxes at an interest income level. And it's interesting because you had a 401k or an IRA. However, you can lessen the amount you owe in taxes by saving an account funded with money you already paid taxes on. It. It's called a Roth IRA. If you have IRAs, you can convert them over to Roths, and then they'll grow tax-free for the purpose of your income. You just want to make sure it's a good fit, and you use a financial advisor to help you make the tax and the investment decision in the right fashion. So if something's outside of a retirement account, you might have other taxes, such as property taxes on your house. That varies from state to state. If you decide to sell real estate or an investment property or sell investments in a brokerage account and you make other profits, you're going to owe capital gains. The capital gains based off how long you have the policy. So if you've had that capital gain for less than a year, you're going to pay higher taxes. If you have it longer than a year, you're going to pay less taxes. Generally, the longer you own the asset, the lower your tax bracket's going to be. While complicated and many factors contribute to pay, think long-term before investing, buying real estate, contributing to retirement accounts to reduce your tax burden. Really quick, let me share you a story with one of my clients. This client I've known for 12 years and kept bugging him every single year about reducing taxes. You know, the reality is their income was about $83,000, $84,000 a year. They're paying about $4,000 a year in taxes. And you know, the only thing that prompted this is they had a granddaughter and said, hey, we want to take $4,000 or $5,000 a year and put it in a 529 program. So what we did is we said, hey, look, let's take a look at what you're doing and have the IRS pay for it. And they looked at me cross-eyed and I said, here's what we did, folks, is they had a bunch of assets that are earning interest income. They're earning interest off it, whether it be a CD and other things. And the reality is they're getting that each and every year. So instead of doing that, especially since they weren't going to spend the money in their lifetime, we moved those assets over to tax-deferred account, which means they wouldn't have to pay taxes unless they took the money out. Then what we did was to have them start taking withdrawals from their Roth IRA, which were non-taxable. By doing so, put them in a 12% tax bracket, which means all their dividends and capital gains were tax-free. So they were left with just paying taxes on their Social Security. So their taxes went from $4,161 to $41. That meant the $4,000 that they wanted to take out and put into their grandkids' 529 program, they're able to do it, but the IRS paid for it. You can do that too. The last thing you can't avoid is emergencies. For major medical emergencies or home repairs, emergencies are going to pop up just like they did when you're working. Just as important to have an emergency fund in retirement as well as working, you want to make sure you set aside 3 to 6 months worth of emergency. You're spending $5,000 a month. Make sure you have $15,000 to $30,000 in there. Whether you have an emergency on the roof, the house, you, or the kids, you've got the money there. The big thing here is this. You don't have to take lump sums that you're not expected to out of your retirement, which could divert or create problems with your retirement. So don't care if it doesn't earn any money. So if you have $30,000 that covers 6 months, you've got a lot of emergencies covered. That's what you want to do to make sure that you've got things in the right spot. That's it for this segment. I'm going to be right back. We've got the president of the veterinarians. Basically, what he's going to be talking about is pet care. So you're going to want to be here for Dr. Jose. He'll be here in just a moment. So stick with us. We're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Summer is an important time to keep safety in mind when it comes to your animals, not only for everyday dangers such as heat, pests, but also emergency preparedness for many reasons. When we talk about these dangers, we want to keep pets away from outdoor and indoor poisons, how to prepare for emergencies, how to prevent zoonotic diseases. We have Dr. Jose Ecri. He has a very long and illustrious career in veterinary medicine. He's currently the president of Miramar Hospital. His special interest includes dermatology, ophthalmology, ultrasonography. Besides all that, he's the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Dr. Jose Ecri, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here. I think this is really important. You know, I know we're here at the end of August. I would love for you to not only talk about things here in summer because it's hot and everything, but also we're going to start moving into those cold months. And especially since we're talking about pets, I know we have tons of pet lovers here, and I'm just thankful that you're here. So welcome to the show.
glad to be here and help you with any topic that you want to talk about, animals and...
Let's first talk about, when did you decide to get into veterinary medicine? I mean, were you always into pets and loved animals, or?
I guess it was a combination of two factors. My dad was a physician. He was an ophthalmologist. So medicine was a common topic in the house. On the other hand, my grandfather was a farmer in Spain, and he had all kinds of farm animals, horses, pigs, cows, bulls. He comes from an area of Spain where they used to do a lot of bullfighting, and he raised some of those bulls. So I loved going to the farm since I was a kid. And then together with, you know, the medicine aspect, I put one and two together, and that was how veterinary medicine came into my life.
Well, that's a wonderful calling. It's a wonderful calling. Let's talk about the issues with heat. Now we're in the summer. I figure we've got about 30 more days before it starts cooling on, depending on where people live around the world. So what are the big things that people should be concerned about when it comes to heat with their animals?
The first thing is, I always try to emphasize, never leave your pets in a car. And most of the heat problems that we get is from people that they think they're going to go to the grocery store in the corner and they're going to get, you know, a liter of milk. And it's going to be 2 minutes, nothing's going to happen. And then they run into a friend or there's a line and they take too long. The temperature inside of a car can go within a couple minutes from whatever it is, depending on where you're in the country right now. But let's say it's 80 degrees average. It can go up to 100, 110 within minutes. And that will put the life of your pet in danger. So don't do that. It doesn't matter if it's 2 seconds. Don't do that. You know, walk with your pet to the grocery store, carry him if you have to, but never leave him behind because it's something you don't want to go through.
My wife tried to do that with our beagle one time and that didn't work out because our bill got a lot higher because our beagle wanted to eat everything. But I'm with you. I think that's great. Now, summer pests, everything from ticks to whatever the case is, what are the things that people should be concerned about when it comes to summer pests?
Definitely one side is the medical aspect, you know, this ticks, fleas. Can transmit diseases to our pets, depending on where you're living in the country. Here in Puerto Rico, Ehrlichia is a huge disease that's transmitted by ticks. There's other diseases that are transmitted by fleas, like Bartonella, that affects cats. In the east side of the country, we got a lot of Lyme disease, and especially in the summer months because of ticks. So make sure you give your pets proper flea and tick prevention products so they don't get those diseases. On the other hand, we use a lot of pesticides, a lot of things in our houses that we leave outside. But at the same time, we're spending more time with our pets outside, having barbecues, enjoying the outdoors. But make sure those pesticides, whether it's a herbicide, an insecticide, they're out of the reach of our pets. Because if they get into them, especially if it's a small dog or a cat, it can be deadly really quick.
Okay, so let's talk about, I don't understand this term, it's called zoonotic diseases.
So zoonotic diseases are diseases that can be transmitted from animals to people. And then there's what we call anthropozoonotic, which is diseases that can be transmitted from people to animals. We know that 70% of the diseases that develop and affect humans come from animals. So it's very important that we work together with human medicine, with physicians. This is what we call the One Health concept, where we're working together with human medicine. Because we know that the world is interconnected right now. We know that human medicine, I mean, public medicine, animal medicine, and the environment are connected. And what affects one will affect the others. We all have to work together with all the fields to prevent diseases in the future. COVID is the perfect example. We know that this started in animals at some point. We know in 2005, 2006, there was the SARS-1 virus, which was just very similar to the one we have now. And we know it started with animals. We know it affected felines, and we know it affected muscleids, which is another type of animals that we don't have a lot in the U.S., but in Eastern Europe and so many countries like minks, we know many mink farms that have been affected by COVID, and they've had to, you know, euthanize a lot of minks in mink farms because of that. So it's something that medicine, human medicine, and animal medicine are interconnected, and we have to work together to prevent diseases like this from happening in the future.
So what can people do? I mean, everybody loves their pets. How do they help avoid those things? Do they have to get their, you know, regular checkups with animals? How can we help that?
The first thing is to use common sense and use hygiene. You know, when we go to state fairs, we go to livestock shows, and we are together with other animals. We come in contact with animals or with their feces. even our shoes, we can be walking on a stable and there can be on the floor, there can be feces contaminated with bacteria that can be very harmful for us. So cleaning our hands constantly after being in these places, washing our shoes. There's even a case of that they traced it where the contamination came from a stroller that a couple was taking their baby, and the wheels of the stroller were the ones that brought the bacteria to the household. So sometimes little things like that can make a huge difference. So if you go to a livestock show, if you go to a state fair, you're taking your kids to the zoo, to the petting zoos, make sure that after they are with animals or touch animals, they wash their hands or use the antibacterial gel to prevent, you know, these bacteria from affecting us.
Wow. So in like in the United States right now, we have tons of county fairs. There's always the Future Farmers of America and the kids that grow the cows and all that stuff. They give out awards. But even when our kids were little, we loved walking through there. And my daughter was always touching an animal. And it's one of those things where, hey, we're leaving. Let's make sure our shoes are clean and our hands are clean, because the next thing we're doing is we're going out to where the food is and eating.
Exactly. And many of us veterinarians, we started loving animals in shows like that, in the 4-H, you know, the state fairs. That's how our interest started into veterinary medicine. So it's great. The exposure is great. Mm-hmm. We know the benefits of the human-animal bond and being with our pets. But at the same time, there's potential for diseases that can come from them and affect us. And we just want to take the necessary precautions, you know, use basic hygiene, wash our hands frequently, and or use the antibacterial gel. Just like we're doing for COVID, we're all experts right now in washing our hands. Let's think about the same thing, but when we get exposed to animals, you know, doing the same basic hygiene.
Okay, so recently we're out in my town and we see people that have little doggy masks. Is that something that's smart to do or not smart to do for an animal?
Good question. No, it's something we're not recommending. There's several dog breeds, what we call the brachycephalic dog breeds, you know, like pugs and the boxers, and some of that had really, really flat noses. Mm-hmm. And they usually regularly have trouble breathing. And putting a mask on them can be harmful and cause them respiratory problems or happen to have cardiac problems. We know their evidence shows that dogs cannot transmit COVID to us. They can work as a fomite. And this is kind of complicated. So fomite means, like, let's say I have COVID and I'm in my house and I cough on top of my dog, and some of my particles from my saliva fall on that dog. And then that dog goes to my wife, and then my wife happens to touch the dog exactly where I cough. And then I put my hands on my mouth, my nose, or my eyes. Then I can get COVID. But the actual animal will not transmit the disease naturally. It can work as a transporter of fluids and get it to us, but they will not cause the disease otherwise.
Okay, great. Hey, look, we're going to be right back with Dr. Jose here. I'm loving talking about pets and animals, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. Again, it's about the ins and outs of money, but right now we're talking about animals. We have Dr. Jose Arce. He's the president of the American Veterinary Medicine Association. And he's been giving us some great tips. You know, we've been talking about pests, poisons, things to do with animals for when it's warm and things like that. We're going to be talking about things when it's cold. But before that, I want to thank you for joining us, for tuning in. I appreciate you sharing us with your friends and families. We have over 600,000 listeners now. If you'd like to get some replays, watch past episodes, you can always go to thesavingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying stories of helpful information and insight on saving with Steve, and then I encourage you to sign up for our YouTube channel or Spotify channel or Google Play. And you know what? Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. We have Dr. Jose Arce. He's back with us here. We're a few days away from September, Doctor. And it's going to start getting cold in certain portions of the world. Now, if we're in Australia, it's going to start getting warm, but it's going to start getting cold. And that cold, we have the Indian summers, but then we're going to start seeing snow and ice, and it's going to get colder and colder depending on where you are. And what are the things that pet owners should be paying attention to help their pets better handle the winter? What issues from a medical situation? Is this the right time to have certain vaccinations for animals? Things like that.
Good question. It's hard for me to relate because I'm in beautiful Puerto Rico here where, you know, that's not a problem. I'm right here near the ocean, if you can see. But I have lived in Massachusetts and I know what cold winters are like. And I practice in the area of Springfield. And yes, definitely it's something that we want to be ready. And it all depends on the animal. Some animals can go outside and be in the snow. Some cannot. It also depends on the age, the condition of the animal. Certain animals are predisposed to respiratory problems because of their breed. Others have cardiac problems, and they cannot deal with the cold really well. Just think about your kids. If you have a puppy that is just coming up, being out there is something that they're not used to. Their system is not used to, and it can be very harmful. It can affect their immune system and cause them some of the diseases that we can prevent by vaccinating. So that's very important. We know several different respiratory viruses that we can prevent by vaccination. We want to do it now ahead. This preparation is the key. Let's not wait for a few months when it gets really cold and it's snowing like crazy and then it's too late. So be careful, depending on the pet you have. If you have a pet that's very exposed, keep it inside. Take it out. You know, right now we're telling everybody, take out your dog in early in the morning or late in the afternoon. In the winter, it's the other way around. Let's take it when it's a little hotter, when the sun is out, the temperatures are warmer, and not take it out really, really early in the morning when it's really cold or at night when there's no sun. The same thing if you have an animal that is not used. Let's say you live in Puerto Rico like I do, and all of a sudden you move to, I don't know, the Northeast or wherever. Animals need to adapt. You know, an animal that has lived all their lives in the cold can get used to it. They can probably be outside in the snow, and most of them, if they're healthy animals, they will be fine. Of course, extreme temperatures, that's bad for everybody, whether it's a human or if it's an animal. But if the animal's always been in the heat all their life and all of a sudden this is their first winter, their system is not adapted. And you have to be really careful because they will suffer from that. With time, if you stay living in a colder climate for years, the animal will adapt and even their coat will get thicker. You'll see some changes with time. And that's part of the adaptation and it's part of life and the evolution. But it can also happen within the lifetime of an animal. On the other way around, if an animal has been living in the cold for all their life, and then also when you move to a place like Puerto Rico where it's 80 degrees year long, you have to adapt the other way. You know, take him out early in the morning and in the evening when it's colder.
Actually, I've lived in Springfield a long time ago. So like, I know that. But I was just thinking, it brought me a flashback back there because I was working there for about 6 months on business. And there was a person who had a dog. And it's a new dog. The dog was already a year or two old, but it was the September, October, and then we had a cold November. And that dog basically didn't make it past the first walk outside because the dog was predisposed to having health issues. And I was just thinking of, you hear about those people that go out and plow their driveway or shovel their driveway and have a heart attack after the first snow because they're not ready for it. And dogs can do the same thing. And I was curious for those people who go out and buy a dog and they're so excited about the dog, but have no clue how to take care of it. What are breeds that have issues with cardiac stuff, breathing issues that probably should become comfortable with the environment there is as opposed to just fully being exposed, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that makes completely sense. You know, the brachycephalic breeds again, you know, the breeds with flat noses, they also have problems with the laryngea and their pharynx, and they're predisposed to respiratory problems. They're also predisposed to, they're usually breeds that get overweight and, you know, they're just not as fit as other breeds. And then let's think about the opposite. Let's think about, you know, German Shepherds. Let's think about Siberian Huskies, breeds that have thick coats. They're used to the cold, and for them it's natural, and they'll be happy. They'll probably be a lot happier when it's snowing and really cold than when it's warm like right now. So yes, the other one is breeds that have a condition already, whether it's a respiratory condition or a cardiac condition, and that can affect any breed, especially the older pets. You know, mm-hmm. We do have some pets that can have congenital diseases that are born with cardiac problems or respiratory problems, but that's not as common. Usually it's the elderly dogs that get these conditions, and those are the ones you really have to be careful. Same thing with the humans. You know, my mother's 90, 91, 92, and she's predisposed to many things because she already has certain conditions, heart conditions, high blood pressure. So whether it's the heat or the cold, she can have trouble. The same thing with an animal. We have to make sure that we have animals that are predisposed because they have something, whether it's cardiac or respiratory. We take the precautions and not take them out on those hours of the day when it's really harmful for them.
One of the things I would like to ask you that we got a lot in our viewers' log is, what should somebody look for when they're looking to buy a new dog or cat? If we just take dogs, because that was the bulk of it. Hey, what should I be looking for? Because I hear all these reports about you buy a dog from somebody that has parvo and you spend all this money, and the next thing you know, the dog's passed away within a few days. What are the signs that people should be looking for when they're looking at purchasing a new animal?
First, let's make sure that the dog you're going to get, because cats can adjust and cats are easier, but the breed of the dog you're going to get can work with the type of the place that you live. If you live in an apartment, if you live in a house, if you like to exercise and run every day and want your dog to do that. So all those factors play a role. If you have kids in the home, certain breeds are more nervous. Certain breeds love kids and want to be with kids. So all those factors play a role. After that, let's make sure that when we get a puppy, we follow the recommendations of your veterinarian. You know, we want to make sure we get them early. We can start at 6 weeks and starting with their first vaccine. And then you can do it at cycles every 3 weeks for a cycle of four. So like 6, 9, 12, and 15 weeks. We want to make sure they're free of intestinal parasites. Intestinal parasites can kill a puppy. And an adult dog that's full grown, it might be hard. But a puppy that's, you know, a couple pounds, if they're full of parasites, that can be deadly. If we get a puppy, whether it's from a shelter or a friend, or we rescue one from the street or a kitten, take it to a veterinarian soon. Make sure it's checked, and we can do a fecal, check if it has parasites, and then we can start their preventive medicine, which is the vaccine, so they don't suffer from these diseases.
Dr. RC, I want to thank you for being on the show today. The information you provide is invaluable to our listeners, especially all the animal lovers. Everybody, this is Dr. Jose Acri. He just became the new president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. And I know you're having fun down there in Puerto Rico. Actually, I miss Puerto Rico. I've only been there a couple of times. It's a nice place. I prefer the rum factories, but hey.
It's a great place. And we need people to come by. The economy is not doing great. We're still recovering from Hurricane Maria. So come visit and spend your money. We need it.
So where can people go to get more resources about animals and pets and things like that?
The AVMA page, avma.org. We have all kinds of resources, whether it's disaster preparedness or diseases of pets or choosing the right breed. All the things that we talked about, you can go to avma.org and click in the different things. We have materials in Spanish and English for those listeners that prefer to see things in Spanish. We have all kinds of things about anything that has to do with animals and with their health.
Dr. RC, thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe, stay healthy, enjoy Puerto Rico. Might even look you up when I get there the next time.
There you go. You're invited. Look me up. And thank you for having me. And thank you for having this program and sharing this information that's very valuable for our friends.
Thank you. And congratulations on your new position as president.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Everybody, that was Dr. Jose Arce, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, sharing some wonderful information. I would recommend you listen to this clip a few times because there's some great information about how to take care of your pets. With that, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Saving with Steve show. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, same place. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.